It is settled, I am certain, in my heart and in my mind. I will pass the glory curtain and I'll leave the world behind. I will stand with the immortal with a happy land in view. Then I'll journey through the portals down the golden avenue. I'm gonna leave some glorious morning, yes I am. Yes, I am. I'm gonna cross the chilly Jordan. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Though the water is deep and the river is wide, I'm gonna stand on the other side. I'm gonna live in heaven someday. Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Communication sure has changed. Communication today is instantaneous and constant. We often wonder how we could have lived without our phones. I remember as a kid making plans with my friends to call them on the phone over the weekend. You had to set a time that would be good for both you and your friend, as well as the schedule that would work best for your family. Your freedom to roam was only as long as the phone cord. But think even further back, before the phone, when distant communication took place with a letter. To write a letter was deliberate and time-consuming. Well, today we begin a 7-part lesson on the letters to the churches of Asia in Revelation. So please stay with me as we discuss the topic of To the Angel of the Church at Ephesus.
Live in heaven someday, yes I am, yes I am. I'm gonna leave some glorious morning, yes I am, yes I am. I'm gonna cross the chilly Jordan, yes I am, yes I am. Though the water is deep and the river is wide, I'm gonna stand on the other side. I'm gonna live in heaven someday, yes I am. Yes, I am. I'm gonna live in heaven someday. Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
As I mentioned in the introduction, to write a letter is very deliberate and also very time consuming. Now we can shoot a text, which only takes a few seconds, and get an immediate response back. Or we can call someone and put in our earbuds and continue working while we talk. But there was a time when all of that multitasking was non-existent. To sit down and write a letter took time and thought because you wanted to get those words right. Jesus took the time to write 7 letters to the churches of Asia in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. I've often wondered if Jesus wrote the church in Moundsville a letter, what would it say? Or if Jesus wrote me a letter personally, what would it say? Well, there's an awful lot of variety within these letters that Jesus wrote to the churches of Asia. So let's begin by looking at their letters and trying to make application for us today. We'll start with the church in Ephesus. Revelation chapter 2, starting in verse 1. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the one who holds the 7 stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the 7 golden lampstands, says this, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men. And you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. And you have perseverance, and you have endured for my name's sake, and have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I am coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. Yet this you do have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. So what was the church doing right? He tells them in verses 2, 3, and 6 some of the things he was happy about. He tells them this so that they will continue doing them. not that they will stop doing them and concentrate on the things that are wrong. He commends first their labor. Would he commend our labor as a congregation, or would he commend our labor as individuals? Oftentimes, the religious world will be quick to remind us that works will not save us, and they would be right. But that doesn't mean that works do not need to be done. I believe many people have the false assumption that since works cannot save, that works are unnecessary. But James tells us in James chapter 2 and verse 20, "But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless?" That's right. James tells us that our faith in God, that our faith in his son, Jesus Christ, is useless without works, even though those works do not save us. The church at Ephesus had worked to the point of a lot of suffering for the cause of Christ. Are we willing to put in that kind of work ourselves? His next commendation to them was the testing of others that they did. They would not just accept someone or their words unless they first checked it with what they knew to be truth. Again, what about us? David gives a warning to the wicked in the 36th Psalm in the 4th verse. He plans wickedness upon his bed. He sets himself on a path that is not good. He does not despise evil. It is that last part that's really interesting. He does not despise evil. We do not necessarily have to be a partaker in wickedness to be considered wicked. Even if we simply do not despise it, like God does, we are considered to be wicked. However, there is a natural transition. If we do not despise evil, then we will likely be carried away by it shortly. Let's follow the example of the church in Ephesus and be determined to not tolerate wickedness and false teaching. This advice is also in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone into the world." There seems to be a lot of good here with the church, but Jesus tells them in verse 4 that he did have something against them. They had left their first love. How can a group who has done so many good things leave their first love? They are still following many of God's commands, but their love for him was lacking. This was really the path of the Jews as well. They were doing many of the things that were technically supposed to do, but in their heart, they had left God, their first love. God and his son should have first place in our hearts, as well as in our actions. Jesus warns them that if they do not repent and get back to their original deeds, then their lampstand would be removed. Again, I believe this is a warning that each congregation and each individual should take very seriously. While we may be pleasing to God in some areas, we need to make sure that those deeds are accompanied by love. Jesus concludes with a promise. He says, "If we listen and overcome, then we will be granted to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." What a promise. It's not something that we deserve, but something that we can have. So until next time, I encourage you to return to your first love.
Worthy is the Lamb.